Is this the end of the world? A lot of people are asking that question. And so I think it's important that we have an answer for the hope that lies within us. When you have a global pandemic, starvation, drought, locust invasions, being on the threshold of a monetary mark, signs in the heavens above, and persecution and martyrdom of believers, you feel like you sense like it could be the end of the world. Well, what do the scriptures say? Well, the answer, obviously, is yes. Because death comes to every person. So in reality, it is the end of the world for every generation. Because it says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. So every generation is a terminal generation. Also, the end of the world comes to nations at their desolation. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times I would have gathered you as a hen her chicks, but you would not. Therefore, your house is left to you desolate." It also comes to the end of the world at the end of the age. And whether we're there or not at right now is to be determined. In 2 Peter 3:10, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." You remember the flood in Noah's day? Fire next time. And why will the world be destroyed? The prophet Isaiah spoke in chapter 24, verses 5 and 6, the earth is defiled under its inhabitants because they have transgressed the laws. They have changed the ordinance. Now, what ordinance do you suppose he would be referring to? Could it be the ordinance of marriage? They have broken the everlasting covenant. The everlasting covenant was given in the days of the flood. God says, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood must be shed." And we've broken the everlasting covenant by shedding innocent blood. "Therefore, the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few people are left." So, why was the earth destroyed in Noah's day? Well, we're told in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Every man, every thought, all the time, evil. Are we getting there yet, folks? Getting close? All you got to do is flip on your television or go on the internet. So, in Revelation chapter 13, we hear the prophecy about a global monetary system. And this is what it says. A man is coming on the scene. He's going to be known as the man of sin, the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness. And this is what it says. It says he causes all, Revelation 13, verses 16 through 17, causes all, small and great, rich and poor, free or slave, employer, employee, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, the two places on my body which are exposed today, so that no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, interestingly enough, the Bible was written in alphanumeric languages. Hebrew is alphanumeric. For instance, Aleph is 1, Beta is 2. Greek is alphanumeric. Alpha is 1, Beta is 2. Well, what restrains this Antichrist? What restrains this man of sin? Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, "Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things?" Now, don't you wish you were back in the day when you could have talked to Paul personally, because a lot of Paul's teachings, as Peter says, are hard to understand. Don't you know that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know, 2 Thessalonians 2, what is restraining that he, the man of sin, the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. He will be revealed in his own time. Until only he who restrains will continue to restrain until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy at the brightness of his coming. Now, traditionally, the church has thought that the restrainer is the Holy Spirit, which we know. Yes, that's true. The Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, John tells us. But we're not talking about Jesus' words. We're talking about Paul's words. Listen to what Paul says that hinders evil. This is taken out of a very famous passage in Romans 13. He says this: "The powers that be, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister to execute wrath on him who practices evil." Now, my firstborn son is Officer Escher, Rona Park Police and Fire. I get a little nervous when I see a 5-year-old girl holding up a sign, "Kill cops." Folks, if we defund the police, we kill the policemen, what's going to happen to evil? It's going to blossom. It's going to bloom. So I believe that Paul's answer of what is restraining the lawless one is law and order in our land. And that's what we need to pray for. That's what we need to vote for. And that's what we need to defend. Now, there's a big controversy in the church about what comes first. How many of you would like to be beamed out of here into heaven? Take me home, Jesus.
I'm ready.
We're ready. And we all know about the rapture. We all know about the resurrection. Well, there's a little controversy going on in the body of Christ, whether we have 7 years of tribulation and then the resurrection, or if we have the resurrection, the rapture, and then the 7 years. How many of you vote for The first. How many vote to be beamed out of here before things get bad? Okay. Yes, that's what we all would like. Unfortunately, that's not what the scripture says. Listen to this. This is Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 30. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will be turned to blood, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens will be shaken, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send forth his angel to gather his elect from the ends of the earth. That's the resurrection. That's the rapture. Now, if you think Jesus is alone in that, Paul agrees with that. He says, now, brothers and sisters, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, do not be shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as from us, as though the day of Christ has come. Let no one deceive you, for the day of Christ, his coming and the resurrection, will not happen until there is a falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed. In other words, the Antichrist will come. We will be forced to make a decision to bow our knee to Jesus or to bow to the spirit of this age. Now, who else prophesied this? What is the signal of his coming and the resurrection? We have this signal. The sun will be darkened, the moon will turn to blood, and the stars will fall from heaven. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 24. That's what he said in Luke 21. It's also spoken by Isaiah in chapter 13, verse 10. Ezekiel 32, 7 and 8. Joel 2, 3 through 31. The sun is darkened. The moon turns to blood. The stars fall from heaven. And that generation will not pass away until all these things are fulfilled. Now, what's the good news? Peter, what's the good news? It says in Joel chapter 2, verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Like the thief on the cross, who wasn't water baptized, when this all comes down, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul said that in Romans 10, verse 13. Is there a way to speed the Lord's return? Well, yes, there is. 2 Peter 3, verses 11 through 12. We know from Revelation 19 that the Lord's coming for a bride that has been prepared in unity, purity, and maturity, according to Ephesians 4. So how do we hasten or speed the Lord's coming? Listen to Peter. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness? Everyone say, holy conduct,
holy conduct
and godliness. Nudge the person next to you and say, holy conduct and godliness. Okay. That's what the Lord's looking for. And that will hasten his day. Now, is your name in the book of life? when are names written in the book of life? In Revelation chapter 13, verse 9, it says this. The beast, the Antichrist, the man of sin, the man of lawlessness that you saw, who was, is not, and is to come, will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. Notice that Jesus was, is, and is to come. The man of sin, the lawless one, was, is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel. Those whose names, listen, those whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When were the names written in the book of life? Revelation 13:9 says, from the foundation of the world. So, we can surmise from this that either God decides who's going to be saved and who's going to be damned, and he only wrote the names of those who are going to be saved in the book, and only he knows, or we can surmise that all of humanity's names, it's a roll call of humanity, that every person conceived on the earth, whether aborted or whether they were born in Timbuktu or Outer Mongolia, their name is written in the book of life. Well, is it possible to be unwritten from the book? Listen to this. Can names be blotted out of the book of life? Exodus 32:33. The Lord said to Moses. Now Moses said, God, I know you're sick and tired of these grumbling, mumbling, complaining Israelites. Save them and blot me out of your book. The Lord said to Moses in Exodus 32:33, he who overcomes, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. In Revelation 3:5, the Lord says to his church, whoever overcomes will be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So, what do we understand? I believe that you either have your sins blotted out at the cross when you call upon the name of the Lord, or you have your name blotted out of the book of life. What will it be for you? What happens to the unholy Trinity? The devil, the beast, and the false prophet. It says this in Revelation 20:10. It says, the devil who deceived the world was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Wow. That is the destination of all those who rebel against the Lord. So my question today is, choose you this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. These are difficult, trying, tempestuous, temptation times. But whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And may it be true of each one of us.